Hey everybody, and welcome back to I Just Want to Talk About the Bible. If this is your first time with us today, then let me just welcome you and say that I'm very glad that you're here. My name is Christian Keeter, and I live in the southeast of the United States of America with my amazing, beautiful, godly wife, Lacey, and our two wonderful daughters, Felicity and Serenity. Let me start by stating right at the outset three assumptions that I am making about you. And this is what they are. The first one is, you want God to speak to you and to guide you. The second one is, you have thoughts and emotions. And the third one is, you sometimes are unsure as to whether or not a thought is from God or some other source. So again, the three assumptions are, you want God to speak to you and guide you, you have thoughts and emotions, and you sometimes are unsure as to whether or not a thought is from God or some other source. Or maybe I am the only person in the world who feels this way, but I highly doubt that. No, I think that this is actually a shared experience. I think that this is, and we may word it a little bit differently than this sometimes, but I think that what I'm describing right here is a universal Christian experience where we want to know God's will. We want to follow Him. We want to please the Lord. We want to live life the way that, you know, He wants us to, and to make the decisions that He wants us to. And sometimes we're just kind of unsure what His will is in a matter. We're unsure about what He wants us to do. And then what muddies things up even further is that we have these kind of thoughts, emotions, impressions, promptings, and things like that that could lead us one way or another in the specific situation, and yet we don't know their origin. And you know, if it's the Lord, then we want to obey the Lord. If it's not, then we want to realize that. And so things can get confusing. Things can get murky with this. And I personally, I can just say right at the beginning, this has actually been a pretty major area of turmoil in my life, of just, to speak kind of bluntly, mental anguish, where I will be caught up sometimes in these places of, oh my goodness, does this kind of prompting that I have, that I'm feeling, this thought, does it have its origins in the Spirit of God leading me or not? And the uncertainty that comes from that leads to an internal tennis match that leads to the anguish that I described a minute ago. And so, maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. Maybe you can't relate to it as strongly, but I think that as we talk through this, you will be able to relate at least on some level, because like I said, this is a universal Christian experience, and we are touching on something, just to broaden it a little bit in our understanding, we're touching on how to recognize the voice of God. The scriptures say, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so we're talking about what a component of being led by the Spirit, of learning to grow in our ability to recognize God's voice, which is a lifelong journey. And the more exposure we have to Him, the closer we are to Him, the more we're going to recognize His voice as time goes on. But I mean, this is, you've asked this question in your own way before. How do I know when God is speaking to me? And how do I just know when it's just me, or when it's the enemy, or whatever? Like, how do I discern between that? That is the question that we are going to partially answer today. I'm not going to do an exhaustive study on this, but we are going to look at one specific component of this. And like I said, I know this is important to you, because I know that you guys care about what the Lord has to say and that you want to live your life in a way that pleases Him. And as I've said before, why else would you be listening to a podcast talking about the Bible? So where we're going to start today is in Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. This is one of the accounts, or one of the recordings, of Jesus's temptation by the devil in the wilderness. It's also mentioned in Mark 1 and Luke 4, although we're going to be looking at the account from Matthew today. So Matthew 4, beginning at verse 1, says, and let me just pause, I'm sorry, before getting into this. This is right after Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, and you know the Lord speaks, the Father speaks from heaven, talking about how Jesus is His beloved Son, with whom He is well pleased. And then that's in chapter 3, and now we're in chapter 4, and it begins with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So that's verses 1 and 2. So Jesus is in the wilderness. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil and to overcome the devil. And it says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So he's at a place of great physical weakness at the moment. Remember, Jesus, of course, Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man, right? And so it says he was hungry. He was hungry. So resuming in verse 3, it says, and the tempter came. And that's one of the titles for the enemy, the tempter, which is a reflection of what he does in the life of people. And we see that depiction of him way back at the beginning in Genesis 3, where he comes in the form of a serpent and does what? Of course, he tempts Eve. He's the tempter. So verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how did Jesus respond? Well, he responded by quoting scripture. He said, it is written, and then quoted a verse from Deuteronomy. In fact, Jesus is going to quote three passages of scripture in the account that we're looking at here, and all three of those passages are going to come from Deuteronomy. But he responded with scripture. So resuming in verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So here in verse 5 and 6, the enemy uses, he quotes some scripture from Psalm 91 and is seeking to lead Jesus to misapply it. Jesus responds in verse 7, it says, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, he quoted scripture. Verse 8 and following says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. And that was through the end of verse 11. Just as a side note, in James, where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, that's exactly what we see right here. Jesus resisted the devil, and it says, then the devil left him. The devil fled. The devil left him. And we see a beautiful part of what it looks like to resist the devil here, and that is by standing on the word of God. Remember, in the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verse 17, what is the sword? What is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And we see very clearly here Jesus wielding the Word of God in this conflict with the enemy. And about this passage, I actually heard somebody recently say, and this is kind of a side note, but I thought it was really good, where he said that Jesus didn't try to reason with the enemy. We don't see him trying to reason with him. We just see him quoting and applying relevant scripture as his both defense and offense against the enemy. So our thoughts be originating from the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, of course. Like I said, the scriptures in Romans 8 say, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Could our thoughts find their origin in the enemy seeking to lead us astray or distract us? Well, yeah, of course. And of course he'd be interested in distracting us. And you might not even realize that this is him whispering some sort of distraction or lie in your ear. I mean, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. I just quoted part of the verse there, but so it could, you know, find its origin in the Lord, or it could find its origin in the enemy. But the Bible also has a category for just our own thought life, and it holds it in very high importance. I mean, like what Paul says in Philippians 4:8-9, which is a verse we've talked about on this podcast plenty. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And in another important relevant passage to this topic about our mental life that I will include here is Romans 12. I'll read 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that passage from Romans 12 is extremely relevant to our conversation today because it's talking about being able to discern the will of God, to be able, being able to test and discern it. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today, one of the big, major ways that we're going to test and discern the will of God. And I also want to include Hebrews 5:14 here because it's relevant. It says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." We're talking about having our powers of discernment trained today. And Jesus laid out the perfect model. The perfect model. What did Jesus say in the wilderness? He quoted scripture, didn't he? He went to the Word of God. And that is what everything was filtered through. The Word of God is truth. It's truth. Proverbs 30, part of verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true." Psalm 119:160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." You remember in 2 Timothy 3, how Paul talks about how all scripture is God-breathed. And even this verse that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy up here in Matthew 4:4, where he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God is truth. And so the things we face, the thoughts we think, the emotions we feel, the philosophies we encounter, and everything else must be filtered through what God has to say on the matter. So here is what I hope is helpful and easy to remember and can just be carried around. It's this little phrase, and it would be a helpful phrase to say frequently, to really just kind of etch into our minds. And this is the phrase, and it also happens to be the title of this episode. But what does the Bible say? But what does the Bible say? And that can be the response to pretty much to everything we encounter. But what does the Bible say? It's that question is implicit in Matthew 4, where Jesus is interacting with the enemy. But what does the Bible say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But what does the Bible say? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But what does the Bible say? It's just like that's the retort to the enemy. And so, like I said, I'm not suggesting that every single thought that you have running through your mind is either directly from the enemy or has its origins in the Lord. We also, like I said, we also have minds that need to be just transformed, and we need to be, you know, and renewed. And so I'm just saying that everything can be filtered through that. But what does the Bible say? When you have an internal thought or impression or some sort of prompting, the question is, but what does the Bible say? When you encounter advice from others in the world, but what does the Bible say? When you encounter philosophies and worldviews, but what does the Bible say? And so this entire statement is built on the fundamental belief that the Word of God is entirely true. And we've already looked at a few verses talking about that. But like I said, the question is, but what does the Bible say? And honestly, a better way of wording it would actually be, but what does God say through His Word? Because remember, the Bible is a means to an end and not the end itself. It is a means to the end of hearing from God and knowing Him better, knowing His will, drawing, because the end is to know Jesus. It's to know Jesus. Like He said, this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent, John 17:3. It is to know Him, and the Word of God is a means to that end. And anytime we make the Word of God, like we separate the Word of God from God Himself, we get into a dangerous place, very close to where the Pharisees were, where they knew the Scriptures very, very well. And yet Jesus said, quoting Isaiah, referring to these people and applying it in His specific situation, "They honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far away." I believe that was Matthew 15. And so we have to be cautious of that. We have to realize that the Bible is a gift from God for us to know Him better. So what does God say through His Word? But for the sake of brevity, I've used the phrase, but what does the Bible say? Let's look at a few verses that illustrate what I'm talking about here. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And this is a very popular verse, but let's think about it for a minute. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does a lamp do? A lamp casts light. What does light do? It reveals. And so what is being said here? What is being said is your word shows me where to walk. It reveals. It shows me the path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the light of your word, I know where to step and which way to go. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." And so here again, we have the image of light, which reveals, clarifies, makes things clear. It says it imparts understanding to the simple. One cool thing about that word translated as understanding is it is also used and translated as the word to discern. To discern. And that is exactly what we're talking about right now, because what we want to know is we want to be able to discern the origin of our thoughts and of the impressions that run through our minds to say, okay, was that of the Lord? Was that from God? Or was that just from me? What was the origin of that? Was that wisdom from the Spirit? What was that? And so the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple, or you could say it imparts discernment to the simple. And I think that this, the humility encapsulated in that verse, is the posture that we have to take in just realizing, I'm simple. We're simple. We need understanding. We need God to come and give us wisdom. It imparts understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your words gives light. And so notice here, Psalm 119 verses 105, 130, both are talking about his words. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And so whenever we're thinking, we just have to say, well, what does the Bible have to say about this? What does God through his words say? Because that is going to reveal to me, that is going to be relevant information, that is going to give me the wisdom. God will give me wisdom through his word to help frame things up, have the proper perspective, find the origin of thoughts as to whether or not they're from him or from some other source. And so let me just read a few other verses that talk about this same thing. Many of these are from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is all about how awesome the word of God is. Psalm 119, 24. Listen to this one. This is so cool. "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." I love that. I've been thinking about this one recently. "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." Well, what does a counselor do? A counselor offers guidance and wisdom and direction. And the psalmist is here saying, your testimonies do that for me. Your testimonies, your word, you counsel me through it. I find guidance in your word. I find the way I should go. Psalm 119, 97 through 100 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts." Obviously, I emphasize the words wiser, understanding, and understand, and because it's connected to all this understanding and this wisdom is connected to this focus on the word of God, meditating. In fact, I believe it uses the word, let's see here, it says, it is my meditation all the day. Your testimonies are my meditation. It's this focused, intentional thought on the word of God. Psalm 119, 160, which we've already read, says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." However, there's something I want to point out really quick, and this is a side note, and it's something we've discussed at length in another episode, which I will link in the description of this one, back to that episode if you haven't heard it yet. Notice these verses where the psalmist in this psalm is desperate for God to reveal his testimonies to him. Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Psalm 119, 124 through 125 says, "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And so we see from these passages, and we could look at many, many more, that there is, it's this crucially, critically important topic that we've already talked about in episode 7 of this podcast, which is entitled Meditating on the Scriptures Part 1, where we talk about one thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And what he does is he will take the Word of God, the objective, true Word of God, and apply it in a subjective way in our life. And he will make it real to us in our personal experience. It already was real, but it's like it clicked for us. You can call this illumination. You can call this revelation. You can call this a rhema. But it's when the Holy Spirit will take the Word and he just opens our eyes to it. The light just turns on for us. Again, episode 7, we talk about that at length. It is worthy of its own entire episode, and it's something I think that we should really talk about a lot more, because when we meditate on the Word of God, that's our goal. It's to hear from the Spirit of God through the Word. Because again, like with the Pharisees, you see that it is possible to know the Bible and yet be dry and far from the Lord. We need the Spirit of God to illuminate the Scriptures. So just a few more scriptures here. Psalm 19, not 119, but 19. It's a really beautiful passage. I'm just going to read verse 7 and 8. I just wrote out a longer passage. I think this is verse 7 and 8, but it's Psalm 19 in that area. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Yeah, I believe that was verse 7. And so again, look what it says, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then a passage I already quoted in part, Proverbs 35 through 6, which says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Listen to that. Listen to that wonderful caution. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. And this is a little bit of a side note, but guys, anytime we're offering counsel or advice, we just have to make sure that it's rooted in the Word of God. That it's rooted in the truth of Scripture. That's what I want to do with these podcasts. Like, I want anything and everything I say on these episodes to be so rooted in the truth of God's Word, and not just based in opinion or something like that. And this is part of the reason why I inundate you and barrage you with scripture sometimes. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm like, look at all these scriptures that say this, because I want you to know this has its roots in the truth of God's word, not just in my opinion. So here is a key point. I want wisdom and guidance from God. I wholeheartedly believe you do too. The scriptures are clear in verses we've talked about a lot, like in James 1, 5, and 6, that he gives wisdom to those who ask. And what I'm saying to you today is that if you want to hear from God, go to his word. If you want wisdom from God, his word is going to be a primary source of that wisdom. I actually saw a meme one time, and it was this guy falling on his knees, crying out towards the sky, saying something like, "Speak to me, Lord." And then the next panel of the meme is just the Lord handing through the clouds a Bible down to him. and it's funny. It's really funny, and it makes a good point. And I do want to say, like, again, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. God will speak to our hearts. He will speak to us, like, and he can speak to us in a variety of ways, so many different ways. And the scriptures talk about how the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. God can speak to you through his creation. And like, you could, listen, I don't want to put words in the Lord's mouth or anything like that, but I could totally see, like, you standing by the beach looking at the endless ocean and the Lord whispering, "That's how much I love you." Can you see the end of that? "No, that's how much I love you." And you know what? There's scriptural support for that statement, right? Like, I could see, us just sitting out looking at the night sky and being blown away by just how majestic and powerful God is, that he just spoke all of that into existence. And so I'm not saying that God will not speak in other ways, because he most certainly will. And I'm just saying the Bible, the objective word of God, has got to play a primary role in our efforts to gain wisdom and to hear and to recognize the voice of God. Because again, the enemy, like it says, will disguise himself as an angel of light. I heard the enemy described as a ventriloquist. He'll whisper into your ears and try to convince you that it was God who just said that, and you could be led around by the nose and not even know it. But what will break apart the deception is the light that will come from God's word, the truth. So I have referenced this really wonderful, lengthy quote from George Mueller before, talking about seeking wisdom from God. Seeking direction from him. I'm not going to read the whole quote right now. I will include a link to the whole quote, a link to a website where it's written in the description of this podcast and where you can go read the whole thing. I'm only going to read about half of it right now because of the point that he makes in step three here. So it's called How I Ascertain the Will of God. And he says, and I quote, "I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. 2. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling of simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions." So let me pause the quote and cut in there. That's what I'm talking about. He says, I do not leave the result. He's like, if I'm seeking God's will, he says, first I surrender. First I humble myself. He said, but after this, he says, I don't just leave myself open to just simple impression, to just the feeling or the thoughts or the impression. He says, if I were to just act on thought and impression, even in this state of surrender, what does he say? He says, I'm opening myself up to being deceived. And the quote is, I make myself liable to great delusions. And then listen to verse 3. Item 3 in this list. This is it. This is the point I'm getting to. He says, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. And let me pause and say that he's not implying that the Spirit of God would mislead us. He is saying that if we are seeking to follow the Spirit's leading, but doing it separated from the Word of God, we could be deceived. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and Jesus says that he leads us into all the truth. And so, no, he's just saying that we can be deceived. But then the final line of this quote that I'm reading, he says, if the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. So let me read that quote again, that third part. I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. And you know, I said I wasn't going to read the whole quote. We've already made it halfway through it. I'll still link to it in the episode, but I'm going to finish it out because we are talking about a topic that's relevant to this one. So he says, next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with his Word and Spirit. 5, I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me aright. 6, thus through prayer to God, the study of the word, and reflection, I come to deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge, and if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after 2 or 3 more petitions, I proceed accordingly. In trivial matters and in transactions involving most important issues, I have found this method always effective. And that's the end of the quote. That's so good, y'all. Like, that is so good. Like, that's an amazing quote. That is so insightful and wise, and I believe was that he was completely led of the Spirit of God when he penned that. Did you notice the role of both the Spirit and the Word there? But he says that if you remove the Word of God from this process, then we open ourselves up to being deceived, to being led astray. He talks about how, that's the point that I want to make today from his quote. Again, it's worthy to read, to think over, and even to apply in your own life as well. And so his word, the importance of his word, like he said, if the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the scriptures and never contrary to them. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, and the Word of God is called truth. And since they are both truth, they will not contradict. They will go hand in hand and coincide. And like I said, we must be careful not to remove the Holy Spirit's role in the process of us seeking God's will through his word. Go back to episode 7 if you want to learn more about that. So a crucial step of growth for every believer is learning to believe what God says through his word more than what we think or feel. Romans 3:4, part of the verse, it says, "Let God be true, though everyone were a liar." So it is a major step forward of growth. It's the dawning of a new day when we come to the place where we start believing his word, what God says through his word, more than what we think or feel. I've said this multiple times already, and I want to say it again. This process cannot be done apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, and this process should be done in conjunction with dependence on the Holy Spirit, asking him to speak, begging him to open our eyes, just like it said in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Or that same chapter in verses 124 and 125, "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." So just a few concluding thoughts and statements that will hopefully answer some lingering questions you may have. First, a word of caution. The Bible contains a lot of information, and it can be possible to go through and cherry pick verses to support what you want to hear. And so we want to be cautious of this. Because we want to rightly divide the word of God. And so here are just a few hopefully helpful tips on the matter. First is obviously just to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to speak to you and me and to keep us from doing this, and just ask him to speak to us clearly and help us just to hear from him. And then when you're dealing with a matter or trying to discern God's will, first just go with what the Bible plainly says about a topic. A resource that I've shared before is called openbible.info. On that website, there is a topical Bible where you can type in a scripture, and it will pull up a lot of scriptures that are relevant to the word that you typed in. I'm sorry, I said type in a scripture. What I meant is type in a topic, and it will pull up scriptures relevant to that topic. And these scriptures are in isolation. They're just standalone verses. So it would be wise to, if there's one in particular that you're really leaning on, to maybe, you know, look at the context of it if you don't already know it or something like that. But it's a wonderful resource and a wonderful place to begin. And so that could help answer the question as well. Just kind of get you started with what the Lord through his word says on a topic. And then another thing is to talk to other godly people who are full of the word of God. You don't need advice from someone who isn't going to point you back to what the Lord says in his word. Obviously, you need people who know the Lord, love the Lord, know his word, love you, and objective parties will be able to see things with greater clarity and often greater simplicity than you will. And so these are just some places to begin. So ask the Lord to guide you, look at what the Bible plainly says about a topic, and then talk to other godly people. A scripture I've said, like, a billion times in this podcast is Proverbs 12:15, which says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." But what if the Bible does not speak clearly on a topic or a decision you're seeking to make? What if you're asking, like, a really specific question? I mean, there are a lot of specific questions. I mean, the majority of life does kind of take place in this gray area where it's not totally necessarily black and white, and the Bible doesn't speak directly to the matter. The Bible doesn't speak directly to whether or not you should take this job or that, if you should move to this neighborhood or that neighborhood or city or whatever. You know, that these are real questions with big implications. And so with that, if the Bible does not directly speak, again, ask the Lord to guide you, because he's promised to give wisdom to those who ask in faith, James 1, 5, and 6. But if the Bible doesn't say something overt about this, begin considering things like, well, what is the character of God, and how does that shed any light on this? When looking at God's character, and the way that I know him to be and the way that the Bible reveals him to be, does that have any implication on what I should do in this matter? Another important idea is to consider relevant principles that could be found in the Word of God, because while the Word of God, let me talk about principles just for 1 second. Principles are amazing because they can be applied in like a million different settings. If you were to say, you know, do this or don't do that, like with a specific decision, that's kind of confined to that one singular decision. But principles, they apply in so many different settings. And so the Bible is full of principles. It is full of principles that reflect God's heart, his mind, his character, all of that. And so there are going to be relevant biblical principles that are going to be part of this decision-making process for you. Now, you might also have to dig down a little bit in your own heart and ask questions like, am I asking the right question right now? Is my prayer even the right prayer? Or is there something else that I, like, is there something else beneath the surface of what I'm actually saying here that is influencing my decision one way or the other? In fact, I don't have my journal open, but let me reach over and grab my journal here. Something that I wrote that is kind of what I'm talking about here. I wrote, discerning internal voices. The following voices I truly believe are not from God, therefore I don't follow them. And then the first item is fear, the voice of fear. And why do I believe that's not from God? Well, it's because 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, a verse in the Bible, says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The second item I wrote was anxiety. And why did I say that? Because in the scriptures, we see Philippians 4:6, where it says, do not be anxious about anything. And then the third item I wrote was condemnation, accusation, guilt, and shame. And why don't I think those are from the Lord? Well, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so right there, we went through three kind of origins of thoughts there: fear, anxiety, and then condemnation, accusation, guilt, shame, right? And we just saw how the scriptures would teach us that those do not have their origin in God, and that gives us wisdom to know what to do with those. Now, again, the Holy Spirit will convict us, but conviction is very different than condemnation. Conviction is very different than guilt. It feels different. There's a clear action point. I believe there will be an element of hope, restoration, and clarity, while guilt, condemnation, all that is just a heavy negative blanket where there's not necessarily any clear action point. You just feel awful. And so, coming back here, that was just kind of an application of, okay, these are principles that give wisdom. And so the Bible will absolutely have principles. And like I said, praying as well. And this is, again, another time to seek godly counsel from people who might be able to highlight relevant principles that you may have missed. Because guys, I just can't tell you how many times it's been like a breath of fresh air where I would just be torn and just confused, and I wouldn't know, you know, but he's trying to seek God's will and just had a lot of confusion. And then I would talk to someone who knew the Word, who loved the Lord, who loved me, who's godly, and they would speak the Word of God in a relevant way. They would take me to relevant scriptures or principles or things like that. And the clarity that would come from such conversations that has come multiple times is like a breath of fresh air. It's like a cool breeze in the sweltering heat of summer. It's wonderful. And I want that, you know, I want this stuff for you guys. Because listen, I know you guys care about the Lord. I know you love the Lord. And I also know that, I mean, the enemy is opposing you, and you have thoughts of your own. If you're doing anything for the kingdom, of course you're going to oppose encountered or opposed by the devil. So I just want to end with this. All that we're talking about emphasizes the importance of day and night meditation. Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So that's the person who meditates on the Word of God day and night. Psalm 119, 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And then Psalm 119, 97, a verse that we've already looked at, says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The more we know the Word of God, the more we're able to check things against it. And so really what we're talking about today is a very, very simple concept. I've just kind of talked around it a whole lot. But it's a very simple concept, and it can be summed up in the question of, but what does the Lord say about this? Or shorter, but what does the Bible say? But what does the Bible say? And if nothing else, I hope that's something that you can just begin to carry around with you as you face both internal and external voices, as you encounter your own thoughts and promptings and inclinations and impressions, and as you encounter just other opinions and worldviews and things like this, that the question that you're going to have is, but what does the Bible say? And I believe that in conjunction with prayer and seeking godly counsel, as well as, like George Mueller said, paying attention to your circumstances, will lead you, will set you up to really hear from God and to get wisdom, the wisdom that you seek. And the most important area where we apply what we've been talking about today is in answering the question, what is God like? That is going to be the most important application of the question, but what does the Bible say? Because we just have to make sure that our understanding of God, that our view of Him, what we think about Him and what He thinks, what we think He thinks about us, is based on the truth of His Word and how He has revealed Himself in that. And so let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you for all the people listening. Thank you for your Word. Lord, please help us to believe your word over everything else. Help us to believe your word and to trust what you say. I pray that you give us all wisdom to be able to discern what your will is. Just like it says, Lord, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We ask for that understanding, Lord. Help us to know your will and to know you better, please. Because, Lord, we love you. Please help us know and understand and believe how much you love us. Holy Spirit, please take the scriptures and just apply them to our heart in just the way that you do. But Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate all of you, and the Lord loves you all immensely. And I hope that even today, you are able to see His love at work in your life and around you. So thank you so much. So I Just Want to Talk About the Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that any and all gifts given are tax deductible. If you feel so led to give, instructions on how to do so can be found in the footer of every podcast episode description. It's pretty straightforward. And for those of you who do give, thank you so much. I want to share with you something really quickly, just a brief update as to what you're giving and what your investment into this ministry has helped fund. I always like to share this whenever we have updates because you're a part of this. This is what the Lord is doing through you. He's done this, and this is incredible. So there is it's one of my wife Lacey's childhood, like one of her closest friends. Her mom has been a full-time missionary in India for years now. Her ministry is called Bridge of Love, and because of your support, donations, gifts, generosity, we were able to contribute to what she is doing in India. And so I'm just going to read to you part of an email that she sent to us, just so you can hear a little bit about what they're doing and a little bit about what you funded and gave to. So it says, and I quote, Bridge of Love International is a nonprofit with our main focus in India. With a population of 1.4 billion people, India has now surpassed China in number. We see Father moving throughout the nation, and we are believing Him for a tremendous harvest. Our vision is to reach the lost and help the poor. Everything we do relates to these two things. We are church planners. We seek only to work in villages where there are no churches, nor many times any known Christians. 70%+ of the population live in the villages, so that is where we target. We have a big vision and have hundreds of villages we desire to reach. To date, we have 5 churches, 5 house fellowships, 2 feeding programs, 2 free tuition centers for children, teach 6 weeks of leadership training annually, help the poor with medical support, and help with education costs. We also help families that are trapped in slavery to secure their freedom, as well as purchase cows or a pair of goats for widows so they can provide for themselves and family. We have had numerous free tailoring schools and villages as a way to help women acquire a useful skill so they can work and make a living and so that they can encounter the one who loves them so deeply. So that's the end of the quote that I'm from the email. And so your giving has given towards that. You have helped establish churches now because you gave to this. House fellowships, feeding programs, tuition centers for children, leadership training, medical support. You've helped widows. Y'all, that's incredible. And so I just wanted to take this time to thank you sincerely, just on behalf of, I just want to talk about the Bible, on behalf of Bridge of Love, and on behalf of all the people who you've helped in India through this, through the partnership that we just had with this ministry by giving to them. So I just wanted to share that with you for your encouragement and hopefully for your, just to bless you. So that's going to be it for today, guys. And I hope that you are doing well. Until next time, God bless you.